family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at Berkey Water.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, and we're going to be talking about what is happening today. Now, there are a lot of people who are out there, of course, waiting for the stock market to come back. They're waiting for the banks to open up their coffers and begin making loans again. They're waiting, of course, for things to return to the way they were before because they were so good. And people don't understand that the America we have known in the past does not exist today and will not soon exist in the future. In fact, it probably will not exist unless there's a massive revival in this country. The people turn back to God. We expose the financial elite, the people from the Trilateral Commission, the Brotherhood of Darkness, the Bilderbergers, the Group of 30, the people who have controlled every administration since Jimmy Carter, the Carter administration, the Reagan administration, the first Bush administration, the Clinton administration, and, of course, the second Bush administration. In every one of those administrations, either the president or the vice president came from the 120 members of the North American group of the Trilateral Commission, and almost their entire cabinet and people and key advisors came from the membership roles of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. These people are dedicated to the destruction of our sovereignty, the destruction of Christianity, and the implementation of a one-world leader under a one-world government. Well, that is the background. Bob Chapman, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, I would have been earlier, but I was talking to your wife, and, you know.
Well, of course, you better
I'm just an old gadabout.
You better be nice to my wife, that's all I can say, or you'll be in real trouble. Well, tell us, Bob, that tomorrow is the big day. Tomorrow is the day when we begin change, but is it going to be change for the better, or is it going to be change for the worse? And are we bringing in all of the same people who are the architects of the current financial disaster? In fact, I was just reading today how Larry Summers is going to head the Council on Economics, something of that sort, was one of the people who did away with Glass-Steagall. And, of course, we know that Geithner was actually one of the architects working with Harry Paulson on everything that's gone on here that's created the current problem. Are things going to get better or worse with the new president?
We are exchanging Team B for Team A, or Team A for Team B, whichever way you want to cut it. And so there's not going to be any change, and it's going to be continued degeneration. And, you know, there's really not too much we can do about that. This crew that's in there is even more insidious and I think even brighter than the last crew. And we're going to have plenty of trouble from these people. And, you know, there's just been no change. I mean, you know, I was in Ronnie Reagan's campaign back in the early 60s, and when he became governor, and I got to know him. And when he became president, I looked at the lineup of the donkeys who are going to be in the cabinet like we're doing today with Mr. Obama. And, you know, it's the same old, same old. There's no real change. They control everything. And so we can't expect anything but more trouble.
Well, why do you think Ronald Reagan brought the people from the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, into his administration? Do you think he really honestly wanted change, or was he the greatest actor of all time? And we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, Bob Chapman, and maybe he'll answer that question for us. Anyway, right now, of course, Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and we'll be back in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan of Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bob Chapman. And, of course, Bob comes from the International Forecaster. He's with us every Monday afternoon, a couple of times in the evening, talking about what's going on. He's certainly had his own, stock firm on Wall Street for a number of years, and he's one of the more knowledgeable people about what's going on. And, of course, we've made the point that certainly the whole economy is collapsing. Many of our stores here in the Central Coast of California and all across the nation are closing down. Circuit City here in California. Why? Of course, the Mervyn's are closing. The Gottschalk's are closing. So many of the stores are closing. Businesses are going out of business. One in every 10 mortgages in the country today is facing foreclosure. At least received one foreclosure notice. One in every 5 mortgages is underwater. In other words, the house is worth less than the value of the mortgage. We're in real trouble financially. It's all been contrived. It has been done intentionally to force us to change our structure of government and to embrace the New World Order that Henry Kissinger talks about. In his classic article published in the International Herald Tribune just a few days ago, you can get it down off the Internet. Just Google in Henry Kissinger, International Herald Tribune, New World Order or New World Economic Order. It'll come up. And understand this is all planned to force not only America but the whole world to go into a world government. Have you seen that article of Henry Kissinger's, Bob?
No. If you emailed it to me, I'd love it.
All right, fine. Well, I'll see if I can pull it down and get it to you, because it really is
vital. And the link, too, if you can, because I can put it in the forecast.
All right, fine. No, he lays it out very, very clearly. We either go along with what they want, or we're going to face fragmentation and chaos. Fragmentation of society
good.
And chaos.
And the only thing that's going to stop these people is fragmentation and chaos. We've got to take them to the mat. And if we don't do that, we're going to lose by default, and the world is going to live on its knees until another Spartacus comes along.
Well, I think that it's so vitally important that people understand that what is happening is part of a long-range plan. But don't believe me. Don't take anything I say for. Just remember that Henry Kissinger was certainly one of the founding members of the Trilateral Commission. He's a permanent member of the Bilderbergers. He's been on the board of directors of the Council on Foreign Relations for many years. He's one of the prime actors in this whole scenario, this whole betrayal of our country, a subversive movement that is intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation and creating a new world order and destroying Christianity. We'll be right back with Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and before we went to the break, why, Bob, I was asking you about Ronald Reagan. And, you know, Ronald Reagan, when he was running for the presidency, spoke out against the Trilateral Commission, how terrible Jimmy Carter was, that he had 30-some members in the Trilateral Commission with only 120 members. But this group that wanted to take over our government, and Carter had 20 members there, and how terrible Ronald Reagan thought that was, and we all rallied behind him. And yet, when Ronald Reagan became the president, he not only put them into key positions, he invited the leadership to come to the White House to have dinner and special meetings with him. What was Ronald Reagan's real motive? Was he an actor? Was he sincere? What do you think? You knew him, Bob.
Well, Ronnie was a good guy, but most people don't know that in the late 1930s, Ronnie was among that group that you would call, or later were called, Pinkos. Ronnie was a leftist, and he made speeches to that effect during the late 1930s. And I know people who were there, because I lived in the Southwest, lived in Los Angeles. And so I knew that part of his background that most people didn't know, and he certainly didn't know that I knew. I filled him in on the CFR, etc., as did his brother, who was really into this. why he made the changes once he became president that he did, I don't know. I asked him once, why did you put all these people on? He said, I had no choice, and was really not willing to discuss it any further. And his wife didn't like me, so she thought I was an extremist. And so I never get any further than that. When they had the inauguration, and then they had this meeting at the Reagan Library, for some reason they asked my daughter to go and be there and to be one of their guides or whatever it was they had there. And I said to my daughter, why did they request you? She says, I have no idea whatsoever.
I see. What did you?
What hear? Obviously was the Ronnie, you know, remembering, and evidently he mentioned something, and that's how she was picked out. But that's a minor point. The important thing is that he gave in, like so many people did. He took the easy way out, and he didn't have that strong a character. He was a very introverted, quiet man. And most actors and actresses are. And I also knew a great deal about him because his girlfriend, before he married Nancy, was one of my clients. And she was a very good friend of mine. And she told me about the few years that they went together, that they were very serious. And so I knew an awful lot more than most people did. And you never know why people are going to do the things that they do, and especially today, the last 20, 25 years. I know people I've known for 30 or 40 years that just turn out to be ratty people. And I don't know what the explanation is. Their whole life they were nice, and all of a sudden they're not anymore.
And well, I believe that
it's hard to make those explanations, you know?
Well, I think if we look at things from an objective point of view, a lot of things don't make sense. If we look at it from a spiritual point of view, a great many things make sense. But be that as it may, talk to us about what's going on financially and certainly where we're headed. Gold has been knocked down. Silver is not doing too badly, but it's certainly down almost $9 from its high last year, early last year. So certainly they've done a good job on the precious metals. And yet, of course, you know, we are dealing with a worldwide paper currency, and reading Ambrose Evans Pritchard's recent article in the Sunday Telegraph, apparently the whole infrastructure of Eastern Europe is beginning to collapse. This is spreading into Spain and into Greece. I mean, these governments are really on the edge of collapsing. Do you get this impression in your research?
The answer is yes, and the whole world is experiencing the same thing. I mean, everybody's got the same problems in varying degrees. I mean, they're talking about the total nationalization of the banking business in Great Britain. Even the Royal Bank of Scotland, which the majority shareholder is the Queen of England, is not the majority shareholder anymore, because the Bank of England owns 70% of the Bank of Scotland, the Royal Bank of Scotland. So I think what's going to happen is, and I can feel this by the way the pound is acting, that when you see England again go into default and devalue their currency, you'll know we'll be 6 months to a year behind. And England is not Estonia. In Eastern Europe, they have an excuse. Great Britain has none. And Europe is going to have a hard time. Spain is in serious trouble. And even worse trouble is Ireland. And then you look at the structure. The five major banks, five major brokerage houses, many of the insurance companies are bankrupt. I mean, why else would they need $10 billion here, $30 billion there, $40 billion here, $108 billion there? It's crazy. They're all broke. Why? Because they strung it out. They went to 30 to 50, 100% leverage. And one lady at Oppenheimer & Company in New York said the emperor has no clothes. She is the top bank analyst in New York City, Meredith Whitney, 2 years come this coming June. She said, Citigroup has got two sets of books, and it's not worth what it's selling for, which at that time was around 32. She said, I think it's worth 16. We had already shorted it at 44, knowing what she knew, because we knew it before she did. And that opened the whole Pandora's box, the derivatives, the CDOs, the SIVs, all of these terrible, crummy instruments that weren't worth anything came home to roost. They're all broke. And that's why the first 350,000 of those funds that were available went to the banks, because they're broke.
Well, of course, that's what they claim.
Obama says that he's going to spend a lot more helping the people. Don't hold your breath.
Well, of course, the thing is that the bank claimed to be broke, and yet Bank of America had, you know, $5 to $7 billion to invest over in China. Citigroup, which I think got $45 billion from the government, is pleading for more. I just invested $10 billion over in Spain, buying up the toll roads. I wonder how broke they really are, and how much of this is that they do not want to lend because they want the problem. I mean, after all, if they solved the problem, we wouldn't be able to bring the world into a position of chaos. And so, certainly, it looks to me like they're doing everything they can, whether it be paying interest on the reserves deposited with the Fed, whether it be cutting back on loans from the Small Business Administration, whether it be frightening the banks, regular banks, into a position they're afraid to lend. But certainly paying interest on the reserves deposit with the Fed has dried up $500 billion that otherwise would have been available for making loans to our customers. I think they've beautifully orchestrated this whole situation to create chaos throughout the world.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And this stimulus package is a head fake to the right or the left, whichever you want to choose.
Well, I have a feeling
it's pablum for the people.
I think that's right. They want to give us the perception they're trying to do something, like Henry Kissinger giving all that money to his friends on Wall Street, and then but he forgot to tell them that when they took the money, they were supposed to lend it. And so they won't lend it. And then, oh, shucks, I just was so stupid. I mean, here I've got $800 million I made, you know, as CEO of Goldman Sachs. But I'm just so stupid. I just forgot to tell them that I was giving them the money to loan out, and they won't loan it out. There's nothing I can do. I mean, I'm not responsible for those irresponsible banks. So give me another, you know, $100 billion, and I'll lend them more. And I think the more we lend them, the less they're going to loan. I think we're seeing the greatest transfer of wealth in all recorded history to the people of great wealth. And the average American doesn't understand that they're going to impoverish the people, and they're going to, of course, I believe, enrich the wealthy, what I call the brotherhood of darkness. And heaven help us all when the American people find out that they've been robbed of their pensions and robbed of their annuities and robbed of their insurance policy and robbed of everything mediated in dollars.
I agree, and we'll get it back.
Well, how are we going to do it?
It's going to be very painful.
How are we going to get the American people to get involved in this battle, to get informed, and then to help us inform the others? Because the average person out there, the average commentator on this, the average person you're going to see on television or even on most talk radio, is not going to talk about a lot of these things. I know you talk about it, and I talk about it. But what about the average person out there? And people are looking to talk radio, to shortwave, to the Internet, and they're just not getting the real facts. Nobody ever talks about the Trilateral Commission and their plan, at least according to Senator Barry Goldwater, to take over the financial and commercial interests of the world. And they've done it.
Well, they're not going to keep it. And what's going to get people going is unemployment, losing their homes, and their cars, and even control of their lives. And they're going to say enough. And there's going to be enough of them that are going to say enough who don't even know what we know, but will be reaching out to us into programs like this saying, how did this happen and who did it to me? And it is going to happen. And these people in charge, they know that. And they think they're going to be able to control it. Well, I get news for them. We have lists of all of them. We know exactly where to go to get them. And it's going to happen.
Well,
it's going to happen all over the world. There's going to be revolution in half the countries in the world.
Well, that is basically what Henry Kissinger is talking about, you know. He's talking about fragmentation and chaos. Those are his words in the International Herald Tribune article. And if you're out there in the listening audience, go up in the Internet and pull it down and read it and circulate it. And if you can't get it, we actually have copies available here at Radio Liberty. If you get some of our other items and ask for it, you need to read what Henry Kissinger is saying. He's telling you their plan. Well, Bob, you know, what do you think the status of gold and silver? Right now, they're not doing that well. And even though, of course, Merrill Lynch and the others keep talking about the price going up, the price is not really budging very much.
Well, it was quite strong this past week in finishing. The access market was the only thing that was open today, and it was slightly lower. And gold is ready to fly, and it's going to go. And if you notice, Citigroup and Morgan have come out and said gold could go to $2,000 an ounce. They're setting that up as a barrier. They don't want it to go any higher than that, but they know it's going to go there. They know they can't continue to control it. The physical offtake is unbelievable. Every time it goes down, like this morning it went down $8 in the access market. It came right back again. Ended up off a couple of dollars on the day. And so... $2.70, no, was it? $2.90 in the day, and silver was off a penny. But that's a very thin market. So
well, now,
really
what's this I hear about, and is there any truth to it, that you know, some of the people who actually bought gold on the in the commodities market, they can't get delivery. They're being told, oh, you don't need to take it. We'll just give you a paper receipt for the gold that we don't have. And is there any truth to that, that they're refusing to fill the commodity contracts?
Well, I don't know, and I have not heard that. I do know a lot of people took delivery, and I don't know whether they got full physical delivery, or some didn't, some didn't. I can't answer that. But I do know that it was about 16 or 17, 18% of outstanding contracts, when usually it's like less than 1%. And the reason for that is that in taking delivery that way, it's cheaper. And that's why there was an incentive to do that. The physical gold and silver market in coins and bars is difficult. I mean, it's been that way for about 8 months. Gold and silver, particularly in the coins, is hard to come by. There's not a lot of product around. Small dealers have virtually nothing. The bigger dealers are able to get a hold of some, coins and bars. But it's not easy. And so that's not going to stop. I just, you know, before the program, I spent a half hour with a woman who's my daughter and son's age. And she's lived all over the world, lived in Eastern Europe, speaks five languages, Fulbright scholarship, UN scholarship. Here she is buying gold and gold shares. I just told your wife, she told me that I see the same thing here that I saw in Eastern Europe when they started to go down the tubes after the wall came down.
And
so the proof is there from people with experience like you and I and her, and that will be passed on to others who wouldn't normally ever talk to us about this, but they see what we see.
Well, I think that most people, you know, have this idea that the dollar is something that is fixed. The old term, as sound as a dollar, is part of their vernacular, is part of their reality. But the trouble is that the dollar is not sound, and certainly if they continue turning out trillions and trillions of dollars in credit and currency, one of these days this whole house of cards is coming down. In fact, they're talking about needing another $1.5 to $2 trillion on top of everything they've already spent. And we can't even find who got most of the money. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was simply saying that he's talked to a woman today, you know, who is in Eastern Europe. She's a very intelligent woman, and she says she sees the same things happening in America today that were happening in Eastern Europe when the wall came down and the whole structure of society began to crumble. Of course, now, of course, the Eastern Europe is having real monetary problems as well. And of course, because, well, all of Europe is having monetary problems, and certainly the European Union is probably going to break apart here before very long if they do not certainly go into the one world government, because the whole structure of society begins to fail when the value of the currency begins to fail, and all of the various governments there are competing, you know, with one another, trying to preserve the value of their currency as all of the currencies are falling. So basically, of course, Bob has been talking about what's going on in our society from a monetary point of view. What about the stock market? Stock markets seem to be doing fairly well. We've lost about 40% of the value, but you hear the experts talk and they say the thing to do is, if you're young, put your money in the stock market, because it's going to increase in value, maybe not now, but 4 or 5 years from now. So by the time you get ready to retire, why, the money you have in the stock market will give you a nice retirement egg, something to suddenly see you through your senior years. How would you respond to those people, those stock market advisors who are telling people this is the time to get in while the value is in the stock market alone?
Well, I disagree. I think, with the exception of gold and silver shares, everybody should be out of the market. The only bonds I'm recommending are Swiss treasuries. And that's it. Gold and silver, related assets, and nothing else. I expect the Dow this year to go to 6,000. It's trading around 8,100. And I think that's a lead pipe cinch. The earnings are just absolutely dreadful. And they're not going to get any better. They're going to be progressively worse throughout the year. Yes, we'll have a respite, which will be caused by emotion and money, which will come into the economy due to this $825 billion that Congress is going to okay for stimulus. But it's a short-term thing. It's not going to do the job. They are not attacking the real problem. They should let all of these banks and insurance companies and brokerage firms go under. It's as simple as that. Why should we pay for all their debt? I mean, they're going to go under anyway. And so we're headed into a very terse situation, and we have unemployment right now at about 15%. Long-term is almost 18%. You can take the short-term figure and throw it out the window. And in fact, the government on U6, which is the intermediate term, agrees it's 13 7/8%.
Now, could you explain to our listeners what the U2 is? Because I don't think most people understand the government grading of unemployment. Because you have one unemployment, then you have this, what is it, U2 level, or what is it?
Well, the first one is the short-term unemployment. And quite frankly, I forget what the U is on that one. The U3 is the long-term unemployment. It includes people who are out of work since 1990. So it's 18 years long. And there's still a lot of people that, you know, lost their job when they were 40, who are now 58, who still don't have one because nobody will hire them. And, of course, they're living in the black market or they're on some sort of welfare. But that includes all those numbers. That figure is 17 3/4%. And the U6, which is all the short-term unemployment, plus the people who are not getting checks anymore from state unemployment, that figure officially is 13.8%. Unofficially, my numbers for that figure are 15%. We're going to have unemployment of over 30%. And we're going to have it flatline for 4, 5, 6 months this year. It won't get any worse, and all of a sudden, when the stimulus ends, it'll get considerably worse again.
Well, you know, they're talking about these Alt-A loans and these pick-and-pay loans coming due this year. They're about somewhere between 1 and 2 million of them. The New York Times says 2 million of these loans, of these predatory loans, are going to come due, and that is, of course, going to hit the housing market like a ton of bricks. They're not telling us that. Most of the subprime loans have already come up for foreclosure, but these other loans, the Alt-A, the pick-and-pay loans, which, of course, were loans where you didn't even have to pay anything but maybe the interest, and not even the interest on that. But when those come down, all these people who have homes they can't afford that are worth far less than their mortgage, heaven help us when that happens. Well, our guest is Bob Chapman. We'll be back here in just a moment and welcome your calls at... Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. I guess is Bob Chapman. And, Bob, of course, your advice all along has been just gold stocks and silver stocks and certainly gold and silver possession and silver, bonds. What about people like Jimmy Rogers who's saying that what you ought to be is in commodities in the ground someplace? What do you think of that advice?
Well, I think it's probably reasonably good, if not very good, because commodities are down 60 to 70%. Now, all markets have rallies, even if they're in a bear market. And so I think that is sound advice. How high commodities can go remains to be seen. We see oil starting to threaten $30 a barrel, which would be the lowest in 5 years. All I can say is that there's more chance of upside in commodities than downside. Jimmy and others also think that China will do very well, and I couldn't disagree with them more. China's got horrible, horrible problems, and I wouldn't invest there. They're talking about decoupling, where nations beside the United States and Western Europe, particularly in Asia, do much better, or in Latin America, do much better, and don't get caught up in all of this. I totally disagree with that. This problem that America and Western Europe has is going to infect the entire world. Everybody's going to be affected. Everybody's going to have a hard time, some harder than others. But it's not going to be easy, and by buying stocks in the third world country.
Hold that thought. Hold that. Oh, no, go right ahead, Bob. We've got another minute. Go ahead. You're saying buying stocks
in third world
countries. Yeah, go ahead.
Is going to have the same result. And people who, in the last 3 to 6 months, have invested in those areas, which should have been immune if decoupling was correct, shouldn't have been off 40 to 50% in their investments, and they are.
So, I mean, the people who invested in Chinese stocks and Malaysian stocks and you have really lost their shirts in the last 6 months?
Well, China's down 76 or 71% or something like that, but not in the last 3 to 6 months over the last couple of years. But they've got whacked really hard in the last 6 months. And so decoupling doesn't work, period. And that's it.
All right, fine. Well,
you know, what do you do? You know, the only place I know to go to is gold and silver-related assets. If you must have cash, you know, have 5 or 10 or 15,000 in small bills.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Bob Chapman, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment for Bob. Why, we would love to hear from you. But Bob, before we go on, why don't you go ahead and tell us how people can get in touch with you, get copies of your newsletter, and of course get the information, and maybe even subscribe to the International Forecaster.
Well, I can get a free copy in three different ways. Number one, they can go to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com. That's the international, FORECASTER.com. They can email us at international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. Or they could call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Runs around 35 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for people who are not on the Internet, and you're going to be accommodated that way as well.
All right, very good. Well, our telephone again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Certainly we're talking to our good friend Bob Chapman for the International Forecaster about what's taking place today and the frightening things that are unfolding as countries throughout the world are facing chaos. Certainly Iceland has gone, frankly, bankrupt. Ireland is not too far behind. They're talking about very, very real problems there in Great Britain. What about the possibility that the United States may have to begin to default on its debts because we do not have any, and people, foreigners, will stop purchasing our T-bills? In other words, basically, if they can't get foreigners to finance our massive deficits, how are we going to keep spending more money than we're taking in, as we have for such a long period of time? And Mr. Obama, President Obama, is talking about the importance of priming the pump and pouring more money in, when one of the major problems is we've got too much money in the system already. So what happens when foreigners stop purchasing our debt?
Well, the foreigners are trapped. 64.5% of their foreign exchange reserves are in dollars. So if they don't keep on buying dollars, then they're going to lose anyway, because the dollar will go down, and that'll be a dreadful situation for them. So they're kind of trapped. But I see some of them are going to break away. It always happens. When things look real bad, and their constituents are screaming and yelling at them, you got all this money in dollars and it's going down, get out. And some of them will get out. But what is going to happen is that once the foreign central banks stop buying treasury paper, and they've essentially stopped buying agency paper, which is Fannie, Freddie, FHA, etc., what's going to happen is that the Fed will create money out of thin air and buy the treasury paper, and that is immediately monetized, and that means inflation is going to go right through the roof. And that could go on for 2 or 3 years. And that's why when people have asked me on these programs, gee, it looks like it's going to happen soon. And I say, you got to have patience, because there's so many things that these people can do to delay the inevitable. And that's why we're going to have hyperinflation before we have deflation. I already believe that we're in a depression. I think it began this month, maybe the beginning of next month. We'll call it February 1st, 2 years after I forecast that we were going into recession, when nobody else did. And only a few professionals did about a year ago. The government discovered it last month. But anyway, they were deliberately late to the party. The point is that deflation will come and take over sooner or later, probably 2 to 3 years down the line. In the meantime, that's what they're going to do. And everybody's going to lose everything unless they're in gold and silver-related assets.
Well, I think the great tragedy is people work so hard for to save up for the retirement, but of course they have their minds set upon the fact that the dollar will preserve its value. They have to learn that there's an organized effort to destroy the value of the currency. This is what the elite always do, and of course this is how they transfer the wealth. They get the wealth, they put it into real assets, and then they destroy the value of the holdings of the population. In fact, going back over every major recession and depression we've had, going back to 1789, they've always been created the same way. You know, the government, you know, makes money easy, lowers the interest rates. You get a loan easily, and boy, everybody's out there borrowing money and spending money and investing money, and then all of a sudden, they dry up the supply of money, and you can't get a loan anyplace. They raise the interest rates ordinarily, because here they're lowering the interest rates. The Fed discount rate to is zero, but that, how is that affecting loans? You know, the ability, if I went to the bank and wanted to borrow money, what it would cost me at the present time to borrow money? Could I get it for 0%?
No, I imagine the loan would be probably 5.5-6%, and of course they're trying to make the money back that they lost.
What's the prime rate?
The banks are making plenty of loans to their AAA customers.
What's the prime rate now? Do you have any idea?
1%.
1% is prime 1%. Rate. Right. Okay. So.
Yeah, they don't even call it that anymore. They call it the Fed funds rate.
All right.
But, you know, it doesn't make any difference if you can't borrow, but the lenders, the banks, are not lending to anybody who has the FOIC under 720. And even at that, it's difficult. You've got to have a very, very high personal or corporate rating to get money. But they are making loans, but they're making loans that they had the money already. The money they get from the government and the Fed, that money is being used to shore up their balance sheet. And a good part of it was used for bonuses and dividends. And so they're doing exactly what they want to do. And the chances of anybody with a lower FOIC, which is a credit rating, getting a loan are extremely small.
It's that old adage.
The loans that are coming out now for mortgages are all coming from FHA. And that means they're going to be refunded and refunded and refunded. They just got $300 billion. They'll be over $1 trillion before you know it. But they're still not going to be able to save the real estate system. Half the people who have loans right now are going to be underwater. And almost all of them will go down. With high unemployment, you're going to have people who would have never had a problem not being able to pay their mortgage. We have a whole new crop coming in who are unemployed.
Sure, because they're making them even worse. Even government employees are beginning to lose their positions. People who never thought that they'd lose their job, but if there's no money there, pretty soon, the state or the county or the city government, or even sometimes the federal government, has to lay people off. If they don't have money, of course, the federal government has the advantage that they can simply print money and create money out of nothing, but the others can't, and they have to, many of the states have regulations, you have to have a balanced budget. What a terrible thing, you know. If they could just keep spending money, why, there wouldn't be a problem. But fortunately, you can't spend money you don't have. Well, let's go to Chuck, who's calling in from Salinas. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. And we'll go to Chuck just as soon as our producer passes him over to us. Well, anyway, certainly as this whole scenario contracts, and certainly we see more and more people losing their jobs, this is going to have a devastating effect on society. Well, what about the pensions? My understanding is that some of the government pensions and some of the private pension funds are going to have to renegotiate what they promised to pay, simply because they don't have the money. They've lost so much in the stock market. But can they go to the government and get their funds replenished?
What they'll probably do is, they had legislation a few years ago that said that the companies that had pension plans, about 19% of Americans have pensions, the formal standard pension, that they had to bring them up to their liabilities. And at that time, Some of them were 60% funded, but the average was about 80%. And now that they don't have the money and can't borrow, they're in a position where they can't fund it. So they're asking government to rescind that order so that they can slide for a while. I don't think it's a case of going to government for money if that happens. Will it happen? Probably. And so they will continue to be underfunded. But as this dreadful situation goes forward, profits continue to plunge, the stock market goes down, the value of the funded pension plans drops from an average of, say, 80% to 60 or 55%, the problems mount. And that's where 2 or 3 years from now, they'll probably say, well, you can't fund these things, so you're going to have to cut back all those benefits that you're giving to these people who are retirees. And they'll do the same thing with Social Security.
Yes, they're already, I suspect, getting ready to do that. Well, let's go to Chuck, who's calling.
They talked about CPI being changed again.
All right, well, let's go to Chuck, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Chuck. How you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How about yourself?
No complaints. Good to hear from you. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I have a couple of them.
Okay, go right ahead.
The first one is, what makes you think that the people of the United States are going to wake up, if we call them sheeple, if they don't even see the handwriting on the wall with Obama when he display his birth certificate? And I really have doubts in regards. I'm not that I'm challenging what you're saying. It's just that I don't have any faith in the American people anymore, because he did a blatant thing by not going out there and showing. It would have taken a simple process of just showing a $12.95 birth certificate versus over $1 million trying to hide it. So how, in effect, will the American people wake up when they get the stuff taken away?
I think they're going to have a choice, and that is they're not going to have anything. And they're going to demand they have something from government, and government won't help them. And that's when I think that it's going to hit the fan, and I think they'll finally realize they either move on government or they're going to die anyway.
All right, well, I hope and pray you're right, because there also might be another way to go out there and create that order out of chaos to accept the chip. So, one other question. My wife and I are looking to diversify, and what would you say would be the safest thing to invest in now?
Gold and silver, either coins, bullion, or shares, or a combination of all three.
And to be safe, where would good places? I know you probably can't use names and stuff, but...
Oh, all you have to do is email me, and I'll give you all the information you need, tell you who to go to. We don't take fees from anybody except people who subscribe. You know, they subscribe and they pay for that. Other than that, we help everybody. And so all you have to do is email me. That email is international_forecaster, F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R, at yahoo.com.
Okay.
And just send your phone number. I'll call you up.
Okay. Chuck, anything else you want to add?
No, thank you very much, and God bless you both for what you're doing for the American people.
Oh, yeah, thank you, and it's good to hear from you. That
you
was
too.
Chuck calling from Salinas. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now I'm not a financial advisor, and I don't purport to be one. I'm just an amateur historian who's been following these things for 46 years. But I think this is an excellent time to invest in gold and silver. I think the prices are down, and I don't think we're ever going to see it much cheaper than this. And at least, even if it falls in value, it won't fall as much as the stock market. And if you were in gold last year, and you were in the stock market last year, you did a lot better in the gold than you did in the stock market. In fact, it reminds me of what Richard Russell said recently. And Richard Russell is one of the old-time analysts on the stock exchange. And he said, those who lose the least win. Those who lose the least win. What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
That's what gold is all about. You know, during the Depression, everything went down 60 to 90%. The only thing that didn't was gold and gold shares.
Well, I know, even though
there was confiscation of physical gold and coins, they still went up substantially. And so, the compliance of the turn-in was only somewhere between 25 and 40%. Most people did not turn in their gold. And so I think that you know that says a lot, and it just goes to show you that the only real asset you can depend upon is gold.
All right, well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And of course, we're talking about what's happening financially. And we've been talking about this for literally years, warning people, get your preparations made, prepare for the difficult times that lie ahead, lay in the supply of food and know how to purify your water, and lay in the extra medications. We're going to be talking about the having canned seeds. You know, it's one thing to buy seeds, another thing to have them hermetically sealed. It'll last for a good long time. And of course, survival seeds is going to be a garden in a can. The seeds are going to be advertising with us, and we'll be starting those ads the first of next month, and I think it's a great idea to have all of these alternatives. And I'll tell you what, seeds may be very valuable down the line, as far as being able to sell something to people who need them. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. People say it can never happen here, and I always like to ask, well, if God is just, why couldn't it happen here? I mean, the policies we've had of foreign aid of impoverished people throughout the world, taking money from poor people in a rich country to give it to rich people in a poor country, and the living standards of the people in the third world countries have actually fallen. Because of what we've done. We've backed ruthless dictators throughout the world, as we're backing the ruthless dictator in Zimbabwe today, but we can't let the American people know that. Oh, no. Oh, we're so much against him, but we put Mugabe in power, ladies and gentlemen. Read the history of Rhodesia back in 1980, when America brought Mugabe to power. Well, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Bob,
You always save it for me.
That's right.
I think that the best advice here is to get out of the stock market. The earnings are going to be dreadful for the whole year. Never mind the first quarter announcements for the fourth quarter of last year. And just on a P.E. ratio basis, the market should go down to 6,000 from 8,100 where it's at. And that's not very good. You could take another 25-30% bath on that in good stocks, or good companies, I should say. And I think that's extremely important to people's investments. And then I've talked about gold and silver. For those who have an awful lot of money and would like fluidity and would like to be in some other kinds of instruments, I recommend the Swiss franc government bonds. Again, following what Stan had to say, seeds, water filter, food, a way to defend your family, extremely important. And, you know, that's the basis to everything. We can't expect anything from the new administration. We can expect a lot less from Congress, it's gone from bad to dreadful. I think 94% of the people who ran for re-election were elected, and the rest of them just didn't run. And, more than half the American people, as the caller said earlier, are sheeple. They don't get it yet. And they won't until they don't have a meal in front of them. Then they'll get it. And whether that'll be too late or not remains to be seen. But just try to get your house in order. It's so important. And, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time, and a lot of people have done it, thank the Lord, because that means that they're prepared. And being prepared is very important. I mean, you can perhaps be out of work for 6 months or more and still be able to eat. And that's a big thing. Needless to say, and maybe you can find some work 6 or 9 or 12 months down the road, but if you got the food, you can feed your family. So it's very, very important.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think it's important that people understand that we're facing times like we have never seen before, and I really feel that everybody is going to feel the effects of this before it's over. Well, I guess it's been Bob Chapman. Bob, thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Good night.
And I always enjoy it.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Bob and Chris from the International Forecaster. And then, of course, if you really would like to know more about what's going on financially, I gave a talk in 2005. It was called The Financial Tsunami. It comes with a syllabus. And if you get the talk and watch the talk, get the syllabus, and you'll find that we were talking about everything that's going on today. We have a paper currency. There's no paper currency in history that has ever survived. As Aristotle, the philosopher, said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money, as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. Well, who many of you think we have godlike wisdom in the King of the United States? And who many think we have perfect authority in our Congress? And they're more interested in their pensions and staying in office than they are in obeying the oath that they've sworn to uphold the Constitution. Well, basically, we have a pamphlet. It's called The History of Money, What You Should Know. That's The History of Money, What You Should Know. And then another pamphlet called The Financial Meltdown, the compilations of our newsletters, and I struggle over them every week, but when they get all done, they're usually pretty good. So we recommend those two pamphlets, my talk on the Financial Tsunami. It's a DVD. It comes, of course, with I think you get it in video, but it comes ordinarily with a DVD, and with the syllabus, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's the best single book out there. And The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. Because it is a conspiracy, the Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank that pays dividends to the private banks. And every dollar that is in circulation is a dollar we have to borrow from these private banks, and we pay them interest on it every single year. And then, of course, the little book on fiat money, inflation in France, which is the story of what happened in France in 1789 when they did just what we're doing today. They printed paper money. And, of course, it eventually failed and brought chaos to France. And, of course, to overcome the chaos, why they created a new leader. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte, who plunged France into war after war after war after war. And I fear that this is the direction we're going. We're leading it. We're going to be coronating a charismatic new leader tomorrow. But you have to know that the people he's selected to surround him all come from the Trilateral Commission, or almost all come from the Trilateral Commission, the Brotherhood of Darkness, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Group of 30. The people who will be the economic advisors to the administration are the same people who orchestrated the current financial collapse, and their ultimate goal, a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world currency, a one-world religion with the destruction of Christianity, and, of course, installation of a one-world leader. And then, of course, if you have not seen the DVDs that we have on the Final Countdown put out by Pastor Billy Crone, or you want to get them, there's part one, part two, and we also have two DVD sets, five in each one, on creation and another one on the RFID chips. And, of course, we carry the book Spy Chips. We carry a four-tape set on spy chips. And that has to do with the fact that they want to number and track every person in the world. Already it is the law of the land that every farm animal has to have RFID or similar identification. Every farm animal, and of course they want every object in the stores to have an RFID chip in it. And of course, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could zip the children? After all, you wouldn't want to get the wrong child in the nursery, would you? Or what about, Grandpa Jones? And of course, he's got Alzheimer's disease, a little confused. Wouldn't we be better to chip him? And maybe it'd be better if we just chipped everybody. And then you wouldn't even need a card. Nobody could buy or sell unless you had the chip. Could it happen? Ladies and gentlemen, it's happening, and the average American doesn't understand the spiritual significance of what's going on. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-